Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 251 of Geek Town Radio. I'm back this week with Matt. How are you doing?
I'm good, David. How are you?
I'm good. So, what have you been up to?
A couple of things. I've been playing the Final Fantasy VII remake, called the Part 1 of the Final Fantasy VII remake. They've got to make the other parts, which is interesting because I think it's going to add up to about 4 or 5 parts, which will take a long time for them to make. But nonetheless, the first part's been out since March something or other. And of course, it's, you know, the return of Cloud, the Final Fantasy VII character, and some others that I'm getting used to just for reference. And when I was obviously younger and we had the, you know, that PlayStation 1 era of Crash Bandicoot, Final Fantasy, Tomb Raider, Metal Gear Solid. It's from that 90s kind of era.
Right.
Of course, the one that I got attached to was the Crash Bandicoot one, hence everything I've talked about in the past.
Your obsession Crash Bandicoot, yes.
Yeah, so I never really had the sort of nostalgic attachment to Final Fantasy VII or any of the Final Fantasy games, and so I'm pretty much going in fresh with this one. I know a couple of bits and pieces, and obviously it's, you know, a very Japanese game made by Square Enix, of course, so that was pretty good. It's got this interesting, because the original game itself was turn-based, at least I believe it was turn-based from what I've heard of. This is more of an open game. So the interesting thing with it is you've got the different difficulty modes, which is casual and then, you know, easy, normal, hard, whatever way they're sort of listed in. I've decided to play the game on casual.
Right.
Basically, what that is where you can go into any battle and you can let the character that you're controlling, which is usually Cloud, he'll fight on his own.
Okay.
He'll fight automatically is what I meant to say. And so he will judge for himself when he needs to attack, defend, block, dodge, all that sort of stuff. But unless you select it, you can choose to intervene as to when to, you know, do spells and, you know, give people potions and all that sort of extra stuff as well. You can actually take over yourself while he's doing his automatic stuff. So let's say he's sort of standing there and you think he should attack. You can kind of jump in yourself and press square, or you can still basically play it manually if you want to, but you can also let Cloud take over,
it's,
if you know
quite,
what I mean.
Quite
and you,
a nice
and you
idea
can do
that.
It, yeah. And you can do it pretty freely as well. So it's sort of one of them situations where if you're not sure how you want to sort of fight on the game or when you should be dodging and that sort of stuff, you can sort of let Cloud guide the fight. And then if you want to intervene with different stuff, you can very much do that at your own pace. And then if you want to change back, you basically don't press any buttons, that sort of thing.
It's a nice way of letting people that maybe want to play through the story but aren't that bothered about the fighting side of things, be able to kind of play through it without having to worry too much, I think.
Yeah, it's good for that, because my main kind of focus with it has been, I've heard really good stuff about the story and the characters, so I wanted to kind of focus on them and things. Obviously, you can still, you know, do the fights and play the gameplay and still focus on everything else, but more of my interest was with the characters and stuff, so letting Cloud kind of take over has made it easier and just sort of better for my experience. So that's been really, really good. I'm only about, I want to say 4 or 5 hours or something, and this game is, I'll just say, quite long. People
thousands.
Have said they finished
yes.
it in, yeah, people have said they finished it in like 50-60 hours. There's other people that I know that have like done the completionist thing and they played like 156 or something, but it depends how much side stuff and that you want to do as well, because I got to this particular part in the game and there was some side stuff and I was like, alright, I've done the side stuff that I kind of want to do, and you can either choose to move on or stay in the town and do the other side stuff, so it's up to you. But so that's been pretty good. It's interesting that this isn't the full game. It is only the first part.
And, yeah, that's kind of weird. Was it released in segments previously, or is it?
No. No, I think Final Fantasy VII. So, I think one of the things that has made one of the changes, not that I'm familiar with the lore of Final Fantasy or whatever, but the first part of the game basically takes place in, I think it's called Midgard. And what they've done is taken this first part of the game, extended the Midgard story. What difference that makes, I don't actually know. but it's basically extended the first part of Midgard and made that the first part of this Final Fantasy thing.
Right, okay.
And then the second part is, I think, in development at the moment or whatever. So it's probably going to be 3-4-5 years before we see part two. But from the conversations I've sort of heard about this game and how long it might take to do and all that, it might end up with like 5 or 6 parts, which will probably take like up to 10 years or something, you would imagine.
Yeah.
So, because even this first part alone took quite a few years to make. So that might go on for quite a few years. But that's been pretty good.
Good.
Speaking of things taking too long, I did the Call of Duty update, another one of those. This is for the... it was for Season 3. It went live. The weird thing is with this game... I mean, there's a lot of weird things with Call of Duty, but one of the weird things with it is the actual game itself doesn't take that long to install. It's when you go onto the game and it's like, okay, you need these other parts, like the multiplayer pack 2 and this other sort of pack that was there. For some reason, those have taken longer than the actual main part of the game to install. It's very, very weird. So that's been interesting as well. But they've updated for Season 3. They've added the Hard Hat map, which was in, I think, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 back in the day kind of map. So that's one of the classic maps, which is, it's, I guess, not really worth the updates for that, but it's worth the updates for the old maps and stuff, because there's been a lot of maps that people that I've played with and stuff, they've talked about. Hard Hat isn't really one that was requested, really. The one that people were really sort of talking about. There's a lot of classic maps you could sort of pull out for the old Call of Duty, things like Nuketown, Terminal, and a whole bunch of others as well. But they went with Hard Hat. Hard Hat is basically this massive construction site. It's a little bit uneven in terms of platforms and that sort of stuff. But it's not bad. It's just I don't mind the updates to that. It's just how long they take.
I mean, I don't play Call of Duty, but I've seen a lot of complaints about the updates and the fact that they're massive and they take forever to download. I mean, you're on the show every, 2 or 3 weeks, and I don't think you've come on once without saying, I've just had an update for Call of Duty. So it's insane the amount of updating they do and how long they seem to take, because even the smaller updates seem to take hours. So, as I say, I don't play it personally, but that's nuts.
Yeah, because it would add up from what you've just said, because it is roughly every sort of 3 to 4, maybe 5 weeks or so when they do an update. And sometimes it is like a big new season update, and sometimes it's like a playlist update. One of the main problems that's really hindering that is because they added the Warzone stuff, which is basically Call of Duty's Battle Royale. That now takes up 90 gigabytes, which is an enormous amount of space. And I don't want or play Warzone, so I want to just sort of untick it, but you have to have it installed. So but nonetheless, it's been a fun, when I actually get to play the game, it's been really, really fun still. So
good.
But there's that. Last of Us 2 is almost here. I know there's been some spoilers out there and stuff, all of which I've managed to avoid. There's going to be a State of Play apparently on Wednesday, which is when we're actually doing, me and Robert are doing our gaming podcast, so that's pretty nice and handy. So I'm really, really excited for this game. I've talked about it on probably quite a few different podcasts at this point, but
I'm looking forward to it.
PlayStation uploaded this, I can't remember the exact name, but it was like Into the Gameplay or something like that, and it was basically Neil Druckmann and the team talking about some of the gameplay stuff we've already seen, but kind of going in depth as to like what's going on and also how they made the decisions why the gameplay is like this and how it sort of works, and going a bit more sort of in depth with it. And I really, really appreciated seeing that as well. And also explaining, because obviously you play as Joel in the first game, and one of the things they kind of explained in that was with Joel, you were literally throwing your fists around and beating people up. With Ellie, it's more about dodging and using melee weapons. So they kind of explained how the game has sort of fundamentally changed in that way, because you, at least from what we know, mainly play as Ellie in the second one. We may get to play as Joel at some point, I don't know, but it's sort of switched in that way. So that's the 19th of June, for people that don't know. That's a Friday, so a couple more weeks. I think that's about 3 or 4 weeks away, so
cool.
We are getting there. The game's also gone gold as well, so there will be no more delays, so that should be good. Just a little note I wanted to add from podcast stuff. I recently finished making Classic Review Season 4, and that's going to be starting on the 3rd of June. That's going to be again another weekly series running for 12 weeks, so just just wanted people to look out for that. So that will be next week. Wednesday is the 3rd of June. So look out for that as well. The last thing I want to talk about is a show that I watched, which is Brassic. It's a, I think it's a Sky original, isn't it? I'm not sure where it is outside of the UK. Yeah, but it's a Sky original production. It's got Michelle Keegan from What's She Been in Coronation Street, Our Girl, and some other stuff as well. She's on, they recently did a season of Our Girl, didn't they, on BBC?
Yeah, not that long ago. Yeah.
Right. But she's in that, and you've also got, is it Joe Gilgan? I think that's how you say it.
Yeah, Joe Gilgan, who is, it's actually his show. He wrote it and created it. I think there are other writers involved, but it was all his original idea, kind of based on his life, actually. And it's Damian Maloney as well in there, was one of the other stars of it. Yeah, I've seen the first few episodes of season one, and I did really enjoy it. I just haven't got back to watching the rest of it because I know it's a Sky original, so I know it's going to be around on Sky for a long time. So I've not had a desperate urge to go watch it, but I did really enjoy it. It's very, very funny. Joe's apparently, I've spoken to some people who worked with him because he was on Preacher, and some of the guys that worked with him say he's the nicest, lovely guy, and incredibly funny and really open and just a really, really nice bloke. So I'm so happy for him because he's had various mental health issues, you know, dyslexic and ADHD, and you know, struggles with depression and anxiety. And he did an interview with Russell Howard when he was sort of talking about, even now it's only just starting to hit him that he's getting the exception of the fact that he actually might be quite good at this acting thing, you know. And he just really struggles with believing himself, and you know, so I'm so happy that he's got this and it's working well for him and people seem to love it, and it's getting great numbers for Sky as well. So I'm so happy. It's been a really big success. He was in Misfits as well. That's the other thing he was in.
Yeah, he was one of the newer replacement ones, cast,
yeah,
wasn't he?
One of the replacement cast. So,
but yeah, I've seen the first two seasons of Brassic, which is what's available. I think it's been, we talked about it before, being renewed for a third season a long time ago. It's outside of the mental health stuff that goes on, mainly with Joe's character. Mm-hmm. Outside of that sort of stuff, it is really, in a very British way, a very just fun comedic show, which you can kind of switch your brain off a little bit and kind of just enjoy the antics of the characters. There's a lot of really out there crazy stuff that happens, and it's really a lot of fun. It's a show I would recommend. It's on it's on Sky, so Now TV and Sky. It should be available if you look around on demand on that. But it's a really, really good show. It's interesting with Michelle's involvement because she is tied into the main stuff, but she's also got her own kind of plots and stories that are a little bit more on their own, and then she sort of jumps back and forth between the main stuff that's going on with Joe's character and all the other guys and that, and then it sort of jumps over to her character a little bit more as well. There's also some big sort of like relationship drama stuff that's going on, not in like a cliched bad way or whatever, or like a boring way, but that's been pretty good as well. There's some really crazy stuff that happens in the show, and it's just a lot of fun. So I just wanted to recommend that as well, and say that I'd seen, because it's only 6 episodes a season, so 12 episodes. They're about 45 minutes roughly each, and it's quite, if you get in the right sort of mood for it and you have enough time, it's a very kind of bingeable show as well.
Yeah.
So I've enjoyed that.
The third season will have 8 episodes apparently as well, so been renewed for a third season already. It's been hugely, hugely popular for Sky, so.
Cool. But yeah, that's what I've been up to. How about you?
Well, I mean, gaming-wise, I've become slightly obsessed with Satisfactory, which is the factory building game. Talked a little bit about it last week. You're dropped onto this planet and you have to build yourself a factory to mine all the resources that are there. It's all in first person. You can build these huge, ridiculously complicated factories, and it's sort of building conveyor belts to move things from one to the other, and you can kind of set up these machines that build widgets and bits and pieces, and it's all production chains, so you've got to build like one thing to be able to build something else to be able to build something else, and you can kind of build bigger and bigger stuff, and I love games like this. I love building games, and the fact that this is all in first person and it's this sort of big world, and I've sort of been playing around with it a little bit, and then the more I've got to learn it, I've kind of ended up destroying things and then kind of rebuilding everything and trying to get it more efficient, and I just spend hours and hours. It's one of those games that I've been sitting and playing and just sort of thought, oh, I'll spend a couple of hours on that, like after I've finished working about, you know, 6-7 p.m. And then looked up and it's like midnight. And you're like, oh. So it's one of those sort of games. So I thoroughly recommend that. It's on the Epic Game Store. It's called Satisfactory. Epic Game Store have got an amazing sale on at the moment. I mean, I don't like the platform quite as much as I do Steam, but the sales, and like they've been giving away games. They're giving away free games. And the free game that they gave away last week was GTA 5. The free game they're giving away this week is Civilization 6. So, you know, it's worth just getting, and if you've got a PC, it's worth just downloading Epic just to get the free games off it. And the sale as well has a £10 voucher that every time you buy a game in the sale, you get the £10 voucher back. So you constantly get like not only games that are on sale, but also games that are on sale and you get an extra £10 off. So
that's good.
It's a ridiculous sale. I mean, they've got some really good stuff on there as well. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that is also on Steam, but it is worth looking at if you're a PC gamer. It is worth downloading the Epic Game Store and having a look through it because there are some great things on there. TV-wise, 911 came back. Really love that series. I'm very much looking forward to the second episode. I think it must have run as a two-parter because it sort of feels like the first episode very much runs into the second. And I think in America, it probably ran as a two-parter because the second episode is around a tsunami that hits the LA coastline. So that's kind of quite a big thing. And they're running it week by week over here. So it sort of felt like you were missing half of that opening big epic episode because it sort of stops as the wave, like you start to see the wave about to come and it stops. And you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to wait until next week for that. But I am really enjoying that show. It's really good. Ryan Murphy does procedural drama and it's fabulous.
Yeah, I think it's probably the best of those procedurals on television. I think in terms of like, because it's not only just, okay, these bunch of people doing a case, you know, every week, plus you've also got the different departments in there and all that. And I just think what they've done with the characters as well, and what they've done with the relationships and stuff, and making you actually care about them, they've done a really, really good job with that. So I was really happy to see that come back last week for a, it's on its third season now, isn't it?
Yes, on its third season. Well, and there is a spin-off show as well starring Rob Lowe called 911 Lone Star, which unofficially Sky have picked up, but I didn't tell you that. They've not actually officially announced that yet. So it may be that the deal isn't completely signed. I don't know. But I hear that Lone Star will be coming to Sky Witness as well. They're not crossing over at the moment. So there's no need to run them like together. My guess is they'll run 911 and then they might run Lone Star straight after it. But they are talking about crossovers in future seasons. So
that'll be good. As long as it lines up over here.
Yeah. Yes, the whole Batwoman fiasco. But that I think because it's both on the same network over here, that should sort that out. So that'd be fine. So I watched that. Sci-fi show Pandora, which runs on Sci-Fi UK over here. It's actually a CW series, but it's one of the second tier CW shows. It's one of their summer shows. You can tell. I mean, it's not up to quite the same quality level as some of the other series. So it's set in 2199. It's a sci-fi action drama. It follows a woman who has basically lost everything. I mean, her parents are killed in the very opening episode, right at the very beginning. She gets shipped off, or decides to go off to the Earth Space Training Academy, where she meets a new bunch of friends. So it's got a kind of that Buffy gang kind of feel to the group of friends, because they're kind of aliens and humans, and there's a whole different bunch of people in there. But there is clearly something going on with her and the reason her parents was killed. There is clearly some mystery with her and all that. So yeah, it's sort of interesting. And I mean, it's a little bit cheesy. The acting isn't great. The special effects are okay for what it is. It feels very much like a sort of second tier drama, but it's a fun bit of sci-fi escapism. But I will watch a bit more of it and see what I think. But you know, if you've got time to kind of sit down and you like your sci-fi, it's perfectly okay. You know, it's one of those shows. It's not something I would rave massively about in any particular way, but it was entertaining enough to sit and watch. And I think I'll probably watch the and more of it. There's nobody in it that you will probably really have heard of. There is a Home and Away actor in there. There's a few people that have been in, somebody from Neighbours, somebody from The Librarians. So, you know, there's people from around, but I know none of the names or faces of people I recognise in it. So, but yeah, so there's that. I watched the Mandalorian documentary, the Disney Gallery documentary, which was quite interesting, which is all the background stuff behind the Mandalorian. The fourth episode in particular is fascinating because it shows off quite a lot of the technology about how they actually shot the show and how much of it, in fact, almost all of it, is shot indoors in a studio and not on green screen. They have this new technology which they actually built to film it, and it's these massive LED wraparound screens. So when they're out in a desert and stuff, you project the desert onto the background so you can film it in camera without having to go back and put a green screen in behind it and, you know, do a bunch of post work. And it also has the advantage that it means all the lighting is correct because you're getting the right reflections and stuff, because if a sun rises on the screen behind it, it reflects on the actor. So it's an incredible bit of technology, and it's one of the reasons why they've managed to shoot something which looks like it should be incredibly complicated to shoot. It's why they've managed to get the second season of that in the can despite all the pandemic stuff. They're confidently saying that the second season is coming. And part of that is the fact that there isn't anywhere near as much effects work and post-production on that show as you might think there is. But it's absolutely fascinating. Even if you're not going to watch like all of it, go and watch the fourth episode, because it's intriguing and really interesting to see how they made that show and how they shot it. Because that studio environment, I think, is the future of how to make things look incredible, because I mean The Mandalorian, I think you'd agree, looked amazing, but allows them to shoot indoors in a safe environment or in a controlled environment. And it's incredible that you look at that and you look at some of the places they were when they're out in supposedly in forests or in deserts or even a lava tunnel at one point. All of that shot in a studio, not on green screen. It's an incredible bit of kit that they've come up with. And it all works in parallax, and it uses a game engine to control it as well. They actually got people from a gaming company to help them design this system. So when the camera moves, it parallaxes the background behind the actor. So you get the same effect that you would if you were playing a video game and running around in a video game. It's a really phenomenal bit of tech and well worth going to watch. It's fascinating. That's the Disney Gallery, The Mandalorian, which is on Disney Plus. And we should talk a bit about the Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist finale, because odd place to end it, I thought, but heartbreaking. Just incredible. That show's been fabulous throughout, I thought.
Yeah, I've really, really, really enjoyed this show. If anybody's heard, you know, any of the podcasts I've done or seen the tweets that I've put out about the show, it's been so good throughout this whole first season. Me and Gray talked about it on Friday night, did a little podcast and talk about the finale and stuff. Yeah, really, really heartbreaking. It's one of the things as well, one thing they did really, really well with the finale, we knew, I'm not going to spoil what happened, we knew what was kind of coming up because of how they'd been building to it, but it still didn't feel like bad or predictable or any of those sorts of things. It was one of the things where we knew it was kind of coming, but it was still massively heartbreaking and all that. And just the way the whole thing's put together, and as I've been saying kind of since day one, just this idea that Zoe would hear people's thoughts, that would break into song and dance, but it's not just a usual kind of, okay, these characters are going to do a musical. It's the way the musical or the music itself, the song and dance stuff, ties in with the narrative, and you're seeing Zoe's actual reaction. You're there with her in the scene, and just the way that all fits in really well together, I think is very, very seamless. But I've absolutely loved this first season. I'm just patiently waiting for it to get renewed for a second season, of course, from NBC. Got to wait for them to do that, haven't we? But I've absolutely loved it.
I think it's been an absolute phenomenal show, and in less skilled hands could have been incredibly silly and just dumb, and they've managed to pitch it so beautifully. And when you try and describe it to somebody, they do go, okay, that sounds really weird and that sounds kind of ridiculous, but it's got such a heart to it and just this soul, and it's just so beautifully put together. It's incredibly funny. It's just, I mean, some of the episodes have been absolutely heartbreaking, but brilliantly written and very, very funny as well. And as you say, the way they use the songs and tie it into the narrative, it's just incredibly well done. If you've not watched it, it's on E4. Go and watch Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. I'm sure it will be up on all four I'm sure it'll be up there for a while.
Last time I checked, it was all still there. So go and check that out before it gets taken down for time reasons or whatever.
Well worth going to look at.
Yeah. I just keep thinking back to, I remember when we were doing the Upfronts podcast, I think last year in May, and you had kind of talked about what they'd pitched for the show. And I was like, oh, it might kind of work. This sort of song and dance, thoughts to song and dance. I was like, oh, it might be all right, might be pretty good, but it's turned out pretty damn good. So really, really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah, regards to the renewal, NBC is the only major network not to have done a sort of mass announcement of all their renews. They've renewed one or two shows, and certainly they previously renewed a lot of their big things like the Chicago series and This Is Us and that sort of stuff. A lot of their regular shows, which Zoe's falls into that sort of category, same things like Bone Collector series, the Lincoln Rhyme series, a lot of those haven't yet been renewed. There's five or six shows that they haven't given any indication one way or another yet. Hopefully Zoe's gets renewed. I think it's probably on track to get picked up again. Usually we'd know all this stuff by now because the upfronts would have happened, but obviously they've all been cancelled due to the coronavirus. A lot of them have already announced. NBC's the only one that hasn't done a major announcement yet. So we'll see, but hopefully we might know by the next few weeks. They've got to make a decision at some point, and they can't leave it too long, but they've got a little bit more time because obviously nothing is filming right now, so they've got a bit of breathing room before they actually need to make a decision about when they're going to start shooting again. Hopefully we will hear from NBC soon about that. A couple of bits of news about things being picked up. All Four has added all seven seasons of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which if you've never seen Buffy, go and watch it. It's fantastic, that show. Hopefully they might add Angel at some point, but they've added Buffy for now. So there are seven seasons of it to go and watch on there. Have you ever watched Buffy? I don't know whether that was ever one that you got into, because it's quite old at this point.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of backstory about Buffy, if you'd like to hear that. I think it was for season two of Classic Reviews when I did that a couple of years ago. Had an ex-girlfriend 5 or 6 years ago. I can't remember exactly when it was. And we used to watch Buffy quite a bit. We got, I think, 5 or 6 seasons. Again, this was a few years ago, so I can't remember exactly how far we got into it. Then, of course, that relationship ended and all that sort of thing. And fast forward to 2018, 2019, whenever it was I watched it. Did a sort of season one, episode one and two kind of impressions thing for the Classic Reviews and that. So that's when I watched the first two episodes again. I think that was, that must have been through Amazon. I think it was on there. That's pretty much that kind of backstory.
Yeah, season one is not great, but it gets much better as it goes through sort of seasons 2 to 7. You can kind of get through season one. It's got some good bits in it, but it wasn't the best series that. But certainly as you get through the later seasons, it's definitely, definitely worth watching.
I definitely enjoyed it and I tend to continue it. I just didn't pass 32 episodes at the moment. So.
Right, yeah. But it is all on All Four, so you can go and watch it all now if you haven't seen it before. Or it's not on yet. Sorry, it's going on the 1st of June. It's going up there, so you'll be able to watch it on the 1st of June. Disney have announced a July premiere date for a new Muppet series called Muppets Now, which is a sort of improv series, apparently. So it's Muppets that are they had no script. They were just the guys that do the Muppets improvising their way through a show. And I love this idea. It goes back to them being the kind of anarchic, silly, kind of wonderful things that you know the Muppets to be. So I'm very much looking forward to this, but that's coming in July. You can find that on Disney Plus. And WB finally have announced that they are releasing the Snyder Cut of Justice League.
Release the Snyder Cut.
Yes. Hashtag release the Snyder Cut. So it is coming to HBO Max. So it's not getting a cinema release. It's coming to HBO Max in the US. I rather suspect it'll land on Sky over here. We haven't got official confirmation of that. But given that the connection that they have to HBO, I rather suspect expect that it will be available to rent on Sky, if nothing else. If it doesn't end up going on to normal HBO, I suspect they probably won't do that. Depends how they release it, because there was talk about them maybe doing it in two halves or something. But
yeah, it's like a mini. It's going to be split up into like a mini series or something.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So, which is an interesting idea of way of doing it. They apparently spent like, you know, millions to adding all the new effects and stuff in that they needed to do to finish it. Because yeah, it was obviously like
20 to 30 million, I think they said.
Yeah. So crazy amount of money they're spending on it. But, you know, I guess it's an interesting thing to do at this point, because I think the virus will probably have had something to do with it, because they're looking for content to be able to put out that people are definitely wanting. And you've got a bunch of footage sat on a shelf that you haven't done anything with, that you've already paid for. And a big budget TV series, you know, can cost you like millions per episode anyway. So why not chuck 20, 30 million using that and turn it into a series for HBO Max? So, I mean, hopefully it will land over here somewhere. We don't know where yet, but I'm fairly sure it will turn up on Sky somewhere, because there is such an appetite for it. So we'll have to wait and see. But yeah,
I love those Jason Momoa videos that he did. It's like we're all just sitting around doing nothing. Release a Snyder Cut. I thought that was brilliant. Yeah. I like Jason Momoa a lot.
I mean, I rather suspect he'd been told that they were doing it before he released that video, because it did make it look like Aquaman had just said, release the Snyder Cut, and it's like, well, we don't want to upset Jason Momoa, and then just like immediately came out with the announcement afterwards. So I think he probably knew at that point that it was coming. But it was funny the way that that kind of all came together. The thing is, everybody's been going, oh yeah, you know, I want to see it, but we don't know whether it's going to be any good or not. We don't know whether it's actually going to be any better than the Joss Whedon version. I mean, it sounds like it probably is from bits and pieces we've heard, but who knows? Hopefully, I mean, it'll be interesting to see in a sort of longer format and like split up, and so we'll see. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I'd be really interested to see what it does.
Apparently there's like I think 3.5 or 4 hours worth of like footage, so you've got a lot there to work with and to see. So isn't this supposed to include like Green Lantern and Martian Manhunter and isn't it Ray Chow or whatever the Atom character?
Got Atom in it as well. Yeah, because I knew it got Martian Manhunter.
I don't know if he's going to be the Atom, but I remember Zach at some point tweet, because he's been tweeting photos for years about like, hey, this was going to happen and Martian Manhunter was going to show up and this and that. And I think Ray Chow was mentioned in there. I don't know if he suits up or whatever, but I remember him tweeting that he was going to be in a particular scene, so that should be quite exciting.
Yeah, well, that'll be interesting. We'll see. But I am rather looking forward to it, because it does sound like it's going to be really interesting and very different to what the movie version was. So that's going to be good. We'll have to see what it comes out like. But keep an eye out for that. We'll let you know when it gets a UK premiere somewhere. So that's all the stuff we've been doing. Let's move on to the TV and film news.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we kick off the TV and film news with renewals, cancellations and pickups as always. Renewals, first one was What We Do in the Shadows, which FX decided to renew for a third season. I watched a few episodes of that, the first season of that. I did really enjoy it. I just haven't gone back to watching the rest of it, but they've now picked it up for a third season. So that's all good. I think it was quite funny and very silly. It's Takeda Waititi's silly sense of humour for that. cool. About a house full of vampires, but it's very funny. ABC came out with their major announcements for all their renewals and cancellations. So some good ones in here. We got off reasonably lightly. There were a few cancellations for things that aired over here, here, but we got off reasonably lightly for stuff. The Rookie and Stumptown, which were two of the big shows which we were waiting for, they've both been renewed. Mixed Dish has picked up again. American Housewife, Blackish, The Connors, The Goldbergs, A Million Little Things, which didn't air over here. They also renewed a couple of reality shows, The Bachelor, Dancing with the Stars, Shark Tank, which is the American version of Dragon's Den, along with the US version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and the new show 2020. They'd already renewed The Good Doctor, Grey's Anatomy, Station 19, American Idol, American Funny Home Videos, so they'd already been renewed. So we're very, very happy to see the Rookie back, because that had been on a lot of people's bubble lists, so I'm very happy that's back. Same with Stumptown as well, because that's been quite a fun show. So I'm quite happy with those as pickups. Cancellations, a bunch of things that hadn't aired, like Bless This Mess, Kids Say the Darndest Things, Schooled, which aired on E4 over here, which I think was a Goldberg's spin-off, so I'm sort of surprised that that didn't manage to make it through, but apparently it wasn't anywhere near as good from people that saw it. Single Parents, which was a comedy which aired on Comedy Central over here, and Emergence, which is the sci-fi-ish show that's on Fox over here. And I mean, we said, I don't know whether you remember when we did the pilot stuff last year, but at the moment we read the thing out for Emergence, we kind of went, yeah, that's getting cancelled after one season, and it is. So
yeah, bit of a shame. I've been enjoying that show, so it's a shame to see that go.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
I'm gonna keep watching the first season though, but because I'm still enjoying it and that.
So. Yeah, same here. I mean, I've been enjoying the first season. It's not the most original idea. I mean, it's a little kid has superpower of some description and mysterious sort of people after her. We've seen that kind of story before, but I'm enjoying it. It's nicely put together. It's fun. So it's a shame to see it get canned. But so that won't be coming back, unfortunately. But we did say right last year when we were talking about them after the pilot announcements that that wasn't going to be coming back. There's still two series they haven't renewed or cancelled yet. One's called For Life and one's called The Baker and the Beauty. Neither of those have aired in the UK, but they're still umming and ahhing about those two. They have picked up two new shows. One's called Big Sky, which is from David E. Kelly, the man behind Big Little Lies. This is about a couple of private detectives who join forces with the estranged wife and ex-cop of one of them to search for two sisters who've been kidnapped by a truck driver on a remote highway in Montana. When they discover that these are not the only girls who have disappeared in the area, they must race against the clock to stop the killer before another woman is taken. So that's, again, seems a relatively generic setup, but I mean, David E. Kelly does make some decent stuff and could be quite good. Who knows? We'll have to wait and
we weren't sure about Zoe's playlist.
Well, exactly. So, yeah. Ryan Philippe plays one of the cops. That's a sort of interesting face that you might recognise. Catherine Winnick is one of the others. So one to look out for. No idea when or where that may air over here. We don't even know when it's going to get filmed yet. So, you know, everything's shut down because of the virus. And then there is one called Call Your Mother, which is a multicam comedy. So that's a standard studio sitcom. Follows an empty nester mum who wonders how she ended up alone while her children live their best life thousands of miles away. She decides her place is with her family and reinserts herself into their lives. Their kids realize that they may need her more than they thought. So, I mean, that again sounds like a very generic setup for a sitcom, but who knows? I mean, it might be fine, it might be rubbish, we'll see. There's absolutely nothing particularly original about that in terms of the description. So yes, those are two things to look out for. That's called Call Your Mother and the other one was called Big Sky. Moving on to the big bombshell announcement that we got this week. Ruby Rose is leaving Batwoman after one season, but the show is definitely coming back for a second season and they are going to cast a new lead actress. So, yeah, I don't think anybody really expected that, but that was interesting. Ruby Rose released a statement saying, "I've made the very difficult decision not to return to Batwoman next season. It was not a decision I made lightly. I have the utmost respect respect for the cast, crew and everybody involved with the show in both Vancouver and Los Angeles. I'm very appreciative of Greg Berlanti, Sarah Schutter and Caroline Dias, not only for giving me this incredible opportunity, but for welcoming me into the DC universe they've so beautifully created. And then she goes on to thank some other people as well. But yes, I mean, basically saying, yes, I'm very grateful for the opportunity. Neither Rose or the show actually gave a reason for it, although there was a thing that came out on one of the websites afterwards, who are usually fairly reliable, who had talked to one of the insiders they have there and said it wasn't 100% her decision. What it sounds like is she basically wasn't overly happy with working on the show. I think she didn't quite realize how much work a network show like this was going to be. I mean, if you've ever heard Stephen Amell or Grant Gustin talk in a interview about the amount of work, it is a hard slog doing these things. I mean, they work long, long hours. You know, when they say it, they're like, I'm not complaining about it because it's a privileged opportunity to do something like this. But it is a lot of work and it takes its toll on you. And I don't think she quite realized quite how much work it was going to be. So she'd not been particularly happy. Because she wasn't very happy, that didn't make her much fun to work with. So that sort of tainted the experience, I think, slightly for both sides. So I think it was sort of 75%, 25% kind of her wanting to leave and them kind of slightly giving her a nudge. And just it sort of more of a relationship breakup and it just wasn't working out. That sounds like it what it was. So yeah, I mean, interesting. We don't know how they're going to handle it. We don't know if it's just she's going to turn up in the next episode and have a completely different face for whatever reason. Although, handily, the show does deal with people that have face-swapping mask technology things. So,
They've used it before, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe it's she gets hideously disfigured by something and somebody saves her and she comes back with a different face, or maybe they just don't reference it at all. I mean, the other possibility is, of course, is you don't put Kate Kane back in the Batsuit for whatever reason. But I think that would be slightly more difficult to do because so much of that show is built around Kate's relationship with her dad and her sister and her ex-relationship. And, you know, so I think if you were going to bring in somebody else, like, you know, a different DC character to become Batwoman, that wouldn't really work because so much of the show is built around Kate Kane. So I think you sort of do have to replace the character of Kate Kane rather than bring another person into the suit.
I think you can just have a new actress show up as Kate Kane. I don't think you need to necessarily like explain it or whatever. Obviously explain it to the audience and stuff with news of like, okay, this person is now playing Kate Kane or whatever. Yeah. But I think if you just carry on the story that you were doing from season one, she just turns up in season two, whoever the new actress is going to be, you just go from there, I think. It's a big, big change and everyone will have to get used to it and that, but I think that's probably still the best way to do it in this situation. But yeah, it's a pretty shocking piece of news. I was watching on John Campia's show and he was talking about like he couldn't remember the last time like a big star had left after the first season of something. When he sort of said that, I couldn't think of that either. Because obviously, you know, like you said, with the Arrowverse leads, like we've got Sarah, we've got Black Lightning and all that, and we've got Oliver and Kara and all the other characters. They've all sort of stayed there and everything's been relatively fine. Everything's worked with all that. But I've heard similar things as well. I've seen similar interviews with specifically with Stephen Amell. Of course, he's the one that's been doing it all the longest. And he's kind of said that like, yeah, sometimes his wife like wasn't happy with the work hours, and sometimes like, especially with the crossovers as well. The crossovers is one of the big things I always hear about in terms of the workload, because that's then also, as well as doing the 22 or 23 episodes, that's also another two or three extra or four in last year's case for them to do. And all the main stars, even though you have certain side characters that sometimes are in and out of those crossovers, for the most part it is, you know, the Legend, Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, all of them are in that, so it adds up to even more work and stuff. But maybe she just kind of couldn't handle it, and maybe at the end of the day, if that was affecting the workplace, which is something that you don't want, and she kind of wanted to move on and so did everybody else, maybe it is just for the best that she kind of just moves on, does something maybe slightly lighter or whatever, and they get an actor in who's up for the 20 plus episodes season sort of thing.
Yeah, so I mean, we'll have to wait and see who takes over. They have said that they specifically want an LGBTQ actress to take over the role, because that was one of the things with, you know, the character is obviously openly out and they wanted a gay actress to play the role. That sort of limits the people that you can go to be able to put in this. There have been a few lists floating around and I pulled out a few names. Stephanie Beatriz, who is in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, the moment Ruby Rose like left and the announcement all came out about the fact that we're looking for an LGBTQ actress, she tweeted out, reads everything about Batwoman. So yeah, I mean, you know, she's obviously on Brooklyn Nine-Nine at the moment, but she seems like she plays quite a sort of tough character on there. So, I mean, that would be an interesting choice.
She'd be good, yeah.
Dominique Provost-Chalkley, who is in Winona Earp, was in Winona Earp, and Kat Barrell, who was also in Winona Earp, both of which were possibilities.
Is that finished, that show?
Yes, I think that's finished, okay. That show. So they're both free agents now, so they're possibilities. Cara Delevingne was a name that I saw floated around, but of course she's doing Carnival Row at the moment, and that is a second season, so I think that's unlikely. Aisha Kate Dillon was another name that I think she would be fabulous as well. She played Taylor in Billions, who would be a brilliant choice, but she's playing Taylor in Billions, and I mean, I don't know what happens on this current season, but that character is still on that show at the moment, so we'd have to see where they go with that. Bella Thorne was a name that I saw floated around, who is I think sort of known as an actress but also known as kind of a personality as well, but Famous in Love was one of the shows that she was on. And Bex Taylor-Klaus, who has actually been on the Arrowverse before, she played Sin on Arrow, but she's been in Deputy and 30 Reasons Why, and Deputy has just got cancelled. 30 Reasons Why have just ended, so I mean, she is around as well, so that may be a possibility. But I mean, there are you may decide just to go for a complete unknown, of course, but I think part of them, maybe they want to go for somebody who has some network experience, purely because they want somebody that understands how much work this is going to be.
The one actress that comes to my mind that isn't on this list is Yvonne Strahovski, Kate from 24, and she also played somebody in Dexter as well. I think she'd be quite good.
Oh yeah,
maybe that's possible, maybe. But that was the one actress I kind of thought of.
Yeah, interesting. That would be an interesting choice as well, but we'll have to wait and see what they go with. I mean, obviously they've got to start shooting this at some point. It's probably going to be towards the end of the summer before they do, so it may be a couple of months before we actually get a name. But I mean, I'm sure they're reaching out to people right now, and I'm sure anybody who is free and looking for work right now and is a sort of LGBTQ actress in Hollywood at the moment is probably going after this role, because I mean, it's, you know, it's a big gig. So
it's a DC thing. So plus you'll also be on, you know, crossover episodes with Grant Gustin and Vanessa Benoist and all that.
It's a DC thing. It's on the CW. We know how the CW hates cancelling, well, anything, pretty much. So, you know, you pretty much, as long as you don't screw it up too badly, there is a very, very good chance that you're going to be on there for as many seasons as they want to make it. So it's a really, really a good job opportunity. We'll have to see who, I'm sure there'll be a lot of fighting over that role, but we'll have to see who they go with. Moving on, there is a new production company, which is called Complete Fiction, which I love as a name. But we don't usually talk much about the formation of production companies, but because of the people involved, it's Edgar Wright, Neera Park, Joe Cornish, and Rachel Pryor. The previous production company that Neera and Edgar were at was Big Talk, who produced the Cornetto trilogy and also Baby Driver. So they've now teamed up with Joe Cornish, who Edgar's worked with many times before, and Rachel Pryor, who is their other partner. They've now formed this new company called Complete Fiction. They've got three shows actually in development with Netflix right now. One of them we have mentioned ages and ages ago, called Lockwood & Co., which is a supernatural action-adventure detective series based on a bunch of best-selling novels by Jonathan Stroud, set in an alternate London beset by an epidemic of spooks and ghouls. Only a few young people have the ability to see and hear the supernatural terrorists, and it's their job to fight them. The smallest and most ramshackle psychic detection agency of all is Lockwood and Co. It's going to be helmed by Joe Cornish, that one. I think it sounds like a lovely, really interesting, strange idea for a TV show. I don't know the books particularly, but I know there are fans of it out there. So I think that will be an interesting one, assuming Netflix pick it up. There is a sci-fi horror trilogy called Murders of Molly Southbourne, again based on book adaptations by Tate Thompson. They follow Molly Southbourne, who is afflicted with a mysterious condition. Every time she bleeds, a doppelganger grows from her blood and attempts to kill her.
Oh, so that's terrifying.
I kind of thought that's like a really interesting, bizarre idea for one as well. So they're working on version of that. And the other one is a historical fantasy series inspired by Islamic folklore called City of Brass. It's the Davabad trilogy by S.K. Chakraborty. And it follows Nari, who is a talented con woman who accidentally summons an equally sly and darkly mysterious djinn warrior during one of her cons and is forced to accept the magical world she thought only existed in childhood stories is real. It sounds like a sort of version of Ghost, the old movie, where you've got like this sort of con woman that suddenly finds herself haunted by a spirit, which was basically the plot of Ghost. So I think that's kind of an interesting fun idea. Depends who they cast in it, but I quite like the sound of that. That could be quite a fun one as well. So three kind of genre series, which I think could be quite interesting.
Yeah, a couple of interesting things in there. Obviously Netflix is a very, very good streaming service. You've got some good names in this production company. So looks good at the moment. Obviously we'll see what these shows look like and that. I'm very interested in the clones from Blood thing.
Yes, I thought that might be your sort of thing.
Because what would you do about that? I don't know.
Yeah, it's every time you bleed, you suddenly end up with a clone that wants to murder
you. I suppose it depends on your lifestyle as well. If you don't get injured too much, then it might not be as much of a problem. But interesting little idea.
Yes. Fascinating idea. So yes, that sounded intriguing. I do like the sound of Lockwood & Co, particularly with Joe Cornish doing it. And City of Brass, I think, sounds like a really intriguing idea as well. So I like the names behind that. I think the fact that it's people like Joe Cornish and Edgar Wright doing it, I think that's going to be an interesting mix of stuff.
Plus, with all this, you know, streaming wars, you've got a dozen names in there. I'm not going to sit here and list all of them, but all the big names. Plus, you've got, you know, HBO Max launching and all that. That's going to have some stuff on it. Obviously, HBO itself is already doing well enough. Netflix adding more stuff to their locker, if you will.
Yeah.
Makes that market more competitive. And at the end of the day, even though, yes, there's tons and tons of great TV shows out there, but that's what we wanted, because then if, let's say, Netflix comes out with a really, really great series, and then the others look around like Disney or Apple or HBO, and they all have to compete with each other. And at the end of the day, it just gives us more entertaining TV to watch. So
yeah, absolutely. And the last story we've got this week is one that I think will probably make you quite happy, because when we were talking about Good Omens, you basically said I could just sit and watch these two characters just chat to each other all day, and now we get the chance. So yeah. David Tennant and Michael Sheen are teaming up again for a new comedy. It's filmed in lockdown. It's called Staged. It's for BBC One. It's 6 15-minute episodes, and the setup for it is it features the cast of a play who are furloughed when their upcoming West End production is suddenly brought to a halt due to the virus. So they've all talking on video chat, and the series follows the cast as they try their best to keep the rehearsals on track while in lockdown. So that's the setup for it. They did put a little clip of it up online, and it does look very funny. And it is basically David Tennant and Michael Sheen just messing around chatting with each other. That's pretty much all it is. But it looks very, very, very funny. It's written by Simon Evans and Phil Glynn. It not only stars Sheen and Tennant, it also stars Georgina Tennant and Anna Lundberg, who conveniently are the partners of David and Michael. So that makes filming that quite a lot easier. And Lucy Eaton as well. So there's going to be more guest stars along the way, which they're going to confirm. So it depends who else they can rope in, but I mean, given who's involved with it, I think, you know, that and it's all done over video chat and nobody's doing anything at the moment, you could get some quite big names getting roped into this, which could be quite good fun.
Yeah, I really, really liked, you know, the two of them in Good Omens and all that. I think that, I mean, to me, you know, I hadn't read the book of a Good Omen, so I was going in there pretty blind. But the thing that stood out the most to me was not only, you know, how talented David Tennant and Michael Sheen are, but their on-screen chemistry and stuff, and just how funny they were together. And a lot of that was to do with the fact that, you know, they were playing opposite characters. One was essentially a devil character, one was an angel, and they ended up having to team up. So that ended up to some really, really great stuff. I'm pretty excited for this. I haven't actually seen the little clip that you've just talked about, but I'll have to go and check that out later. Like you said, as what I'd kind of said before, I could watch these two just kind of chat to each other kind of thing.
Yeah.
So even something as simple as this could really be uplifted by talent such as that. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, I am very much looking forward to this. It's called Staged. It's going to be 6 15-minute episodes. It's airing on BBC One in June. It's then going to be on as a box set onto the iPlayer afterwards. Definitely one to watch out for when it lands. We haven't got an exact date for it yet, but it'll be coming in June at some point. So that's all the news we've got for this week. Let's move on to some highlights for next week on TV. So we've only got 4 shows on highlights for next week on TV this time, but a couple of interesting ones. We've got We Hunt Together, which is coming to Alibi on the 27th of May at 10 p.m, which is a 6-part thriller about a former child soldier desperate to suppress his predisposition for violence, and Freddie, a magnetic and disarmingly charming free spirit. One to go and look out for if you like the sound of that. That's on Alibi on the 27th of May at 10 p.m. Then we've got First Team, which is a football comedy from the people behind The Inbetweeners. This sounds pretty much like it's The Inbetweeners, but with them as footballers rather than at school more than anything else. That's coming to BBC Two on the 28th of May at 9:30, and that's called The First Team.
I'm quite interested in that. Yeah, there isn't a lot of, I suppose because there's, well, not at the moment, but there's a lot of football out there to watch. But there hasn't been a lot of like scripted TV shows other than that thing, the English Game on Netflix, which came out a couple of months ago, and that which I quite enjoyed. A scripted kind of comedy thing with football could be pretty interesting. I'm interested to see how the combination of both the guys behind The Inbetweeners and football, how that kind of goes. That should be quite an interesting one.
I'm sure that would be very funny. Called The First Team, 28th of May, BBC Two at 9:30 for that. There is Central Park, which is an animated series coming on the 29th of May to Apple TV Plus. That's an animated musical comedy, follows a family of caretakers who live and work in Central Park in New York. It's Josh Gad, Titus Burgess, Kristen Bell are doing the voices for it. So I think that could be worth a watch, particularly as it's kind of those guys involved and it's a musical comedy. And I think that sounds like it's going to be quite lovely. So that's on Apple TV Plus on the 29th of May for that. And then Space Force on the 29th of May on Netflix as well, which the entire series lands. It's from the people that brought you The American Office. And it's about the idea of Space Force, this wonderfully stupid idea that they came up with in America. And Steve Carell's starring in it. There are trailers up. We've got trailers up on the website. It looks like it's going to be very silly and very funny, and I do like the look of it. But
that's good. Yeah.
29th of May for that. Yeah, 29th of May for that. So definitely one to look out for. That's everything we have for this week. If they want to find more stuff from you, where can they find you about?
Entertainmenttalk.org. Like I said, classic reviews, 3rd of June. It'll be at noon, so a bit of a different time to all this sort of stuff. But that'll be available. Very excited to see what everybody thinks of what I've done with the season. I'm very happy with what I've done with it myself, which is good. Going to actually be taking a podcast break from this Wednesday, which is... some of this stuff is coming out past that time, which should be good. But if you also want to find me on Twitter, come and say hello and whatever, and find the post through Twitter as well. That's at eTalkUK.
Excellent. And of course, for us, you can go to the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions and comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website. Find us at Geektown on Twitter or on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at YouTube.com/geektown. youtube.com/geekdown, on Instagram at geekdownuk. That is everything. We shall be back for another show next week. Make sure you all stay safe, wash your hands, cover your faces, all that sort of stuff, talk to elderly relatives, and stay safe. We will see you next week. Bye bye.
Goodbye.